fucking
it was so mangled.
Yeah. It was so mangled by the time I got through with it.
Threw it out. Oh my god.
I didn't want to send it back. I already disputed the charge of my credit card.
I know you told me about that. You know, they would have to, like, you know, I mean, they're gonna. I mean, obviously, you're gonna dispute it or whatever. You disputed it.
You know,
but
I wonder if they say
because you would have had to pay for it if you send it back.
Yeah, I would have had to pay for shipping and stuff.
Yeah,
my argument's gonna be it was so destroyed that it, you know, basically told him it came to me damaged too. So my argument's going to be, you know,
oh my god,
it was in such bad condition that I didn't even want to waste the time of packing it up and sending it back. I was just that upset, and I was, you know,
dude, oh my god,
I got this phone, right? I leased it. I owe $270 on it, right? You know how you're on the lease program for phones?
Yeah.
They're paying the rest of my lease off.
That's awesome.
Because I get in these battles with these people and I win.
You're just a psycho, man. You're a complete madman. You're completely unhinged.
I got a $75 credit. my phone bill is going to be for three phones this month? $80.
Vito.
What's up, guys?
Why don't you take care of this guy for us? Will you just take him out back?
Yeah.
Smack him around a little bit. You know what I mean? Just do your thing. You know what I mean?
You don't get the kick out of me, man.
I'm glad one of us does, you know. All right, you guys ready? We're going to go live here in a second. You ready?
All right.
All right.
What time is all time? What time is all time?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorda, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you tonight. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And I guess we'll be here till about 8:30 tonight. And tonight, we're going to talk about ESPN. Not happy that Top Rank didn't get the Teofimo fight. I believe their quote was disappointed. And a quote-unquote blockbuster heavyweight pay-per-view is in the works. But first, we're going to get it started off with friend of the show, Vito Milnecki, fresh off his knockout over Noe Lopez.
Yes,
how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in there, man. We're hanging in there. Good to have you here, man. That's how we're doing, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to be back.
I'll tell you what, when you're here, you know we're doing good. You know we're doing good, my man.
Yeah.
So talk us through this fight, man. You just had it. You're fresh off this win. The one thing that I told B as we were watching this fight, I said, you know, that you are such a patient fighter.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that where you just don't throw a lot of punches. That's not what I mean. When I mean you're a patient fighter, round two is where you knock this guy down. It was a perfect shot, too, by the way. Knocked him down. But normally I see young fighters just go completely haywire trying to get that knockout. Walk me through that when you knocked him down, and where does that come from to not get over-anxious?
Yeah, I mean, I just think a hurt fighter is when he's most dangerous, because that's when he's throwing to survive. He's throwing anything to survive. So I believe at that time when you hurt a fighter, that's when you have to stay patient and pick your shots. If you hurt him to the head, go down to the body. If you hurt him to the body, go back up to the head and, like, changing your levels. Like I said, a hurt fighter is a dangerous fighter. So just staying patient when you have a guy hurt is real important.
Were you surprised he got up in that second round?
No, I wasn't surprised. It was definitely a clean right hand. He got up better than how he went down. Like, he looked more hurt as he was going down, but when he got up, he wasn't as hurt. So he went down worse than what he got, like how he got up. So
you know what I wanted to ask you, because Eric, that was a fantastic question from Eric, and that was something that I had on my mind too. But to expand on Eric's question, what I want to ask you is, because I know myself, when I get excited and I get like, I feel my adrenaline flowing. A lot of times I have to talk myself down. I have to say, all right, take it easy, take it easy. When you hurt a guy, I'm sure your adrenaline is sky high going through the roof. I'm sure you can feel that in your, you know, that rush.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, is that instinctive that you're just trained? You've already instinctively trained yourself to be calm and be patient, or do you have to kind of talk yourself down like I do or most people do? Because I know sometimes, like, when I get excited, I'll be like, okay, Joe, just take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. Does that process run through your mind when you're in the heat of battle like that, especially being a young man like yourself? How does that factor into your mindset when you're in that moment like that?
Yeah, I think my amateur background also has a lot to do with it, just because I've been in the ring with all the top guys. I've hurt guys in the amateurs, and even in the pros for my first few fights, I've already hurt guys severely, and some of the fights when I did smother myself in the moment of when I did hurt them, I didn't get them out of there. So when you take your time and just pick your shot, stay patient, and just let the guy open up for the right shot. What I've learned already throughout my whole career since I was 7 years old, just stay patient. I'm a thinker in the ring, so me being patient helps me. So obviously a lot of young guys aren't used to staying patient because they're used to 3 rounds, 3 minutes where they have to be real quick in terms of their punch output. But I also, my punch percentage landing was like 58%. And so no wasted punches, just that's how I always was though, just real patient with my shots. I'm poised. And I just, my last fight, I felt great. I felt great in there.
So basically, because in the past when you felt yourself rushing, you saw the negative results of that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost like that kid touching the hot stove. You didn't want to get burnt again, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a real good point. Because that's not really something, you know, that's like a learned response. That's not really something you teach. Because, I mean, you could say it a billion times, don't get excited. But until you're in there and you're in that moment,
I think it's personality driven as well.
You
have to be someone who's in control of your emotions. You have to be you have to be a person that has emotional intelligence, basically, I would think.
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
You know, so you're fighting on national TV, and that brings up another point, Beef. You know, Vito, you're fighting on national TV. When you came out to the ring, and I've noticed this since I've been watching you, when you come out to the ring, you're not smiling. You're completely engaged. It's like the moment you never see. It's like you never have a big moment in there, in the sense that
he's very stoic.
Right. The moment never overtakes you. You are always honed in. You are always focused.
It's amazing.
I mean, where does that come from? I mean, how do you get, it's one thing to be patient in the fight, but how do you not let your emotions get the best of you coming into the fight?
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, even when I was a kid, just like, when I play football or when I was in a finals fight of a tournament, like, I always just love the light. I love being under the light. A lot of guys are gym fighters. A lot of guys they look the best in the gym. But for me, it's always, once I get under the lights on the biggest stage, that's where I feel most comfortable. And that's where pressure makes diamonds, and that's where I'm most comfortable. So, I mean, I feel great when I get to that level and on that big of a stage. And the stages are only going to get bigger, and we're just going to keep rising to the occasion each time.
I've always wanted to know this, because you brought up a good point, and you say that there's people in the gym, and we've all seen them, where you watch them in the gym, and they look amazing. I mean, they look like the next big thing. I mean, this is unbelievable. This guy can really go. And then you put them out there in front of the lights, and there's something just not there.
Missing.
There's something missing, right.
Yeah.
What is that, a mindset? What is that? What causes it? Is it just the mindset to know that you got to go out there and you got to perform, or is it just blocking everything out? Because do you fight the same way? I imagine you may fight the same way in sparring, in the sense that you're calm, you're relaxed in sparring, and then you're relaxed in the ring. It's the same kind of carryover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me, sparring is more of just working on things. So one day, let's just say, one day I'm just using my left hand in sparring, or one day we're working on my defense, one day we're working on my inside game. So, I mean, sparring for me is just like how it should be for everyone, just practicing what you've been working on the floor, on the heavy bag, on the double M bag, on the pad, and just in sparring, you have a guy that imitates the guy who you're fighting in your fight. So you want to work on shots that you see in the that you're going to be able to land on the guy that you're fighting. So you just sparring is really just working on things. And I mean, for me, sparring really doesn't mean much to me. A lot of guys take sparring real serious, but for me, it's more of just learning each time I'm in the ring. So, but once we get on the big stage under the lights, that's where everything comes together, and I just shine. That's it.
Let me piggyback off that for a second here. Now, you talked about sparring, and you talked about, you know, you're talking about the gym, and we're talking about the gym atmosphere now. Joe Goosen, your former trainer. Now, we found out in this last fight that that you had came back to New Jersey. You're no longer with Joe Goosen.
Yep.
Two of you parted ways, but amicably, you know.
Yeah,
clearly, it looked amicable to me. Yeah. You guys were very friendly and everything like that. Was this a case of, like, homesick, or what was this a case of? How come you decided to go that route?
Yeah, like, for me, I was always growing up, I was always family-oriented. Even when I would be, like, playing football, I was always just used to coming home from practice, being with my family, going to practice with my family. So with boxing, is the same thing for me. My whole life, I was always going to the gym, coming back to my mom, my little brother, my sisters, my dad. And then for me being out there, it's just like, I think a happy fighter is a great fighter. So for me being home in Jersey with my family, that's where I'm most happy, and that's where I want to be. So for now, Joe, obviously, he taught me so much in the 6 months that I'm out there. I think it even showed in the fight that I was training with Joe. So, I mean, Joe's a great trainer. Like I said, he has the recipe to be great, and I've learned so much that I'll take out throughout my whole career. So, but it was more of just a case of missing my family and homesick, like you said.
So let me ask you a question. So what, and as far as like the arrangement, did he want you to stay out there permanently? And that's, you guys work from, you know, training camp, out of camp, everything, and he's just going to teach you? Or was this like, you know, when you have a next fight coming up, you come to me and we'll go for 8 weeks. And then whatever, he did want you to relocate out there, or how was that working?
Yeah, I was going out. So after my fight, I was coming back to Jersey, and I would be with my family after my fight. But obviously, in a young fighter's career, you're moving, you're fighting a lot. So I'm out there anyway. I would be out there anyway. I would be home for maybe 2 weeks, and I'd be out there. But it wasn't even just I like being out there. It was just with missing my family. So, said the gym atmosphere was great. The training was great. The sparring was great. Everything was great, but unfortunately it didn't work because of me missing my family. And, that's it. Like I said, Joe's a great trainer. He's probably one of the best trainers of all time, in my opinion. I learned so much in just a week of being with Joe out in my first week being there. That's it. Yeah. He's legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely understandable. I mean, I think that's, you know, I mean, family's family. I mean, and you got to go where you're happy. Go ahead, dude.
Exactly.
Is the door still open, though? Do you see maybe at some point reuniting with Joe down the road? Or, I mean, only time will tell. You can't always really look into the future. But because you guys parted ways, on such good terms, and Joe was speaking so highly of you during the broadcast.
Yeah.
He was very complimentary of you, and it was almost as if he was showing pride in his ability to be able to teach you.
Yeah.
Seeing what he taught you, you brought it into the fight, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you were showing the things that he taught you, and you were displaying the things that he taught
mm-hmm.
you. It, to me, it seems like, and this is my opinion, obviously, but there's still a connection. Like, I mean, I obviously you have a great deal of respect for him, but not only that, he has a great deal of respect and admiration for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
I mean, go on. Yep.
It seems as though at some point, you know, maybe you could work together and work something out
mm-hmm.
where maybe he could come down and you know, help you out, you know, who knows?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, me and Joe are on great terms. Like, if I wanted to call Joe right now, he'll pick up the phone and answer. So,
yeah,
I mean, like I said, I learned so much. I mean, I'm good where I'm at right now with my original trainer, Muhammad.
Sure.
And obviously, who knows what the future holds, but like I said, I'm good where I'm at. And
yeah,
at any time, I could call Joe and ask him advice because I know he's been to that top level, and if I ever needed advice, I'd call him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Not to interrupt you, but that's where I was kind of getting at. Could you still call him? Could there still be,
absolutely,
you know, like basically him counseling you and giving you tips and stuff if you were able to, you know, if you were, wanted to ask him?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you heard us after the fight, how when I went over to him and stuff, it's all love with Joe. I mean, we're comfortable calling each other and talking to each other right now. So I'm happy that I could call him at any time because I know what kind of knowledge he has and what he could continue to teach me even if it's over the phone. So
gotcha.
I'm happy about that.
That's great.
Well, and I think that shows a lot of maturity too. I mean, just on your part to go to him and say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling comfortable out here. I'm not feeling that. I got to go back to New Jersey. It's nothing you did. It's me. You know, I got to go back. I miss my family, whatever. And for you to still maintain that relationship with him, I think it's unbelievable. I think that's great.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of people would have handled it different.
Yeah, this happened 2 weeks before my last fight. So, I left California 2 weeks before my fight and then came back to Jersey, trained the last 2 weeks with my original trainer, and then we headed back out to L.A. for the fight. So,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
How much of a toll was the traveling? Because that kind of could wear on a fighter as well, having to go back and forth a lot and travel and stuff. Did that play a factor in anything? Was that an issue, the traveling back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, having the right team around me, they were setting up my training at the right time. My dad was cooking great food for me to make weight. My mom, obviously, too. And my trainers were giving me the right schedule to actually stay on the right time in terms of being on the L.A. time still while I was in Jersey. So, like, training late at night at 8 o'clock here so that it's at 5 o'clock in L.A. when I was going in the gym, in the ring there. So just keeping everything on track for my fight, I want to thank my team for that. They did a great job of that for me.
Well, since you're a young guy, and obviously your metabolism's probably firing on all cylinders now.
Yeah.
How is the diet? Can you eat a lot of food now? Like, can you eat more food than a normal person could because you're young? Do you have that fast metabolism yet? Or do you have to really cut down the calories to make weight?
Oh, well, for me, making 47, I'm on a great diet. So for me, obviously I'm growing. I'm sure you guys could tell that my rehydration when I was in the ring was, I put on a good, I rehydrated well after the weigh-in. And I mean, I put on weight fast because I'm naturally a big kid. And I mean, for now we're going to stay at 47, but it's obviously going to get tougher and tougher as I keep growing. So we'll see where I'm at in the next few fights.
Is it difficult for you right now to make 47?
No, because I'm doing it the right way. I'm eating right throughout the whole camp, training at the right times, not eating past certain times. And, yeah, so when you do it right, your body feels great. So, I mean, for guys who don't do it right, their body obviously isn't going to feel as good and they don't perform at the level that they want to perform at when they get into the ring. But for me, that's not a problem.
Now, you have an athletic background. You played a lot of sports when you were in high school. Do you train regularly? Like, do you still go to the gym when you don't have a fight? I'm not saying you have to spar or whatever and go heavy, but are you the type of person that likes to work out? Do you like to go out and run? Do you like to lift weights? Do you like to calisthenics and stuff when you don't have a fight? Do you try to keep yourself in relatively good condition? Because I know a lot of fighters, they shut everything down. They don't do anything when they don't have a fight coming up.
Yeah, so I do believe in recovery. I believe recovery is probably the most important thing for your body after a fight. But for me, I came back. I got back Sunday. I was back in the gym lifting on Wednesday because I want to keep my strength up.
Sure.
But for me, this is all I really think about. So I get anxious to get back in the gym and just get right back to work because even watching my fight, I see things that I want to obviously keep working on. And even this is all I think about throughout the day. It's the only thing on my mind, like just that one, the goals that I had since I'm a little kid and just wanted to get to that point. So when sometimes they have to tell me, look, you need to give your body some rest. You got to let your body rest. But I just want to keep going right back to the gym to keep getting better and better each and every day.
When do you expect to fight again?
Yeah, so we're hoping for late May, back on Fox in L.A. So I don't know the exact date yet. When I do, it'll obviously be released on all my social media channels.
Yeah.
But, probably late May. So probably get back into the gym fully, not this week, but beginning of next week.
Gotcha. Catch Vito Milnecki on Instagram at Vito Milnecki. Vito, it's been great, man. Good luck to you. And
I'm gonna speak one more in there, Eric.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
I apologize for cutting you off. Now, you got the 8-rounder in. You had a couple 8-rounders.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to go to the 10s? Do you foresee at by the end of this year or possibly next year you'll probably be in the 10-rounders?
Probably next year.
Okay.
Yeah, for now we're good feel great in the 8-rounders. I just think I'm still young. I'm still 18.
Yeah, you got plenty of time.
Plenty of time. No rush. Just keep learning on the job. I feel great being above those 6-rounders and 4-rounders because now I could even take my time even more. First round or two, just find my distance and just start setting traps earlier in the fight as well. So the traps start coming in the 7th and 8th round. So, I'm happy where I'm at with 8-rounders and hopefully get to the 10s next year.
Gotcha. Great. Sorry about that, Eric.
No, you're fine. You're fine. All right, Vito, we're going to let you go. We're going to let you get some rest or go work out or whatever it is you do at 7 o'clock on a Sunday.
The honey dips are in play now.
What's the matter with you?
The honey dips are in play now, right? The fight's over?
What's the matter with you? Ironically enough, we were talking about Vito taking Joe out back before the show started and just smacking him around a little bit. You know, I would pay money to see that. I would totally pay money to see you in the ring.
I'm going
to
go on a double date with this kid one day.
What's the matter with you? We're at the nursing home? What's the matter with you, Joe?
Show him how the beef gets down.
Yeah, right, at Golden Corral. All right, Vito, thank you so much.
All right, man, take care. It was a great fight.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. How the bead gets down. Matter with you.
I really like that kid, though. You know what I mean?
He's great, man. He really is. I tell you, and like I said, man, it impresses me that he's smart, and you can tell he's smart in that ring. He knows what to do. He comes in with a plan A and B, adjusts, makes the right adjustments, and is just patient. He doesn't let that moment get to him.
When you look at a guy,
that's the most important thing.
When you look at a guy like Deontay Wilder, right? Mm-hmm. He's a bronze medalist in the Olympics, right?
On paper, yeah, on paper. I mean, it's you don't get any better.
Former heavyweight world champion, and this is a guy. When you see him hurt somebody,
goes nuts.
He looks like a friggin' like a windmill.
Yeah,
absolutely. Going crazy, like throwing punches. Like it just doesn't look pretty.
Yeah.
He looks very unrefined and unpolished and just really wild in there. And then when you see a young kid like this, who's 18 years old, and you compare that with a guy who's 32, 33-ish, now he's 34. But at the time, he was doing that for a great period of his career, and he's still doing it now, 34 still doing that, right? It's amazing to see the difference in – just discipline, being able to control your emotions and your adrenaline and not going crazy in there. It's just funny when you watch a guy who's 34 who can't really pull it all together, but a kid who's 18 that can. It's amazing.
Well, not to mention is that what has Vito got, like 8 fights or something like that? And Wilder's got when you watch guys like Wilder, who's got like 40 fights. So that's something that's just ingrained in him.
Yeah,
he's going to go crazy once he gets hurt. And it's the same way it's ingrained in him to not go crazy, to pick your shots and be patient.
Yeah, it's all personality. It's just all the personality of the Wilder's 35, I think, right now. Yeah, he's 30. He's 35. Yeah, he's 35.
But that's the thing, man. I mean, you watch him. He's patient. He's he just does everything correctly, and his movement, it's textbook. It's all textbook, and he's only getting better, and that's a scary part. I think out of everything that you watch, you listen to, you see, is that every fight you see improvement, and it's scary, man. It really is.
Yeah.
So, man, but you got to look forward to him in the future, man, for sure. I mean, he's amazing. Amazing fighter. Yeah. Really is. All right, let's see here. Let's talk about NBC Sports Network, Beebe. The big one.
Amazing fight.
It really was. It really was. I mean, you know, listen, man. Friend of the show, Brandon Adams wins a TKO over Sergey Borachuk in the eighth round. What a fight this was, man. Brandon Adams was down on all the scorecards, losing almost every round. I mean, just about every round. I mean, Borachuk was really doing a job in here. But Adams always fighting. There is no quitting Brandon Adams. And he dropped Borachuk in the eighth round. Borachuk got up. Adams boxed him against the ropes and hit him with just a pitcher-perfect left hand. Beebe, that left hand was flush right on his jaw. Yeah. And he got up, and that was, I mean, the referee called that fight, obviously. But, you know, man, I'll tell you what, you got to feel good for Brandon Adams here. And hopefully he gets another big fight in the future. I mean, he showed a lot of heart in this fight because, I mean, he was getting beat. I mean, he was getting beat in this fight. There's no question about it.
He was behind.
He was losing almost every round.
Yeah.
You know, he was never out of the fight in the sense of, I mean, clearly on the scorecards he was out. But he was always dangerous. You know, he was still fighting. He just didn't give up. You know, you could see it. He was fighting. He wanted to win. And I'll tell you, if he didn't find a way, he really did.
It was almost as if he saw something that, you know, all I got to – I see the opening, and I'm just going to wait for it. Because he looked like he was in counterpunch mode the whole fight. And he never switched out of that mindset. He never switched game plans. He kept fighting in the counterpunch role, letting this kid come forward, almost saying to himself, he's going to make a mistake, and when he does, I'm going to get him. You know what I mean? So it was like he had that aura about him that you could sense that's what he was doing, and it was almost like he knew this was going to happen at some point in the fight.
Yeah.
And it did, and then once it presented itself to him, he was going to make the best of it, which he most certainly did.
Right. It was unbelievable. It really was. And Brandon Adams, former contender winner.
Yeah.
And, you know, friend of the show, you know. So it was really good to see him win, man. It really was. It was good to see him get one, man. It really
is. He's a good guy, man.
Because we've seen him in a couple fights where he's had a chance. I mean, he's had a chance to go, you know, big fights for him and come up short sometimes, you know. And this was a big, big fight for him because they say, you know, they thought they were going to run over this guy. And for him to show what he can do and to do it like that, I mean, that was great. And so that's going to set him up for another big payday, I'm sure. So that'll be good, man. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Let's talk about the big fight this weekend, Beebe. The big fight. The pay-per-view. The Clarissa Shields and I didn't do anything, man. I've already been warned prior to the show.
Tread lightly.
I'm treading lightly. I haven't done anything. Just so you know, I've already been warned before the show.
Just be careful.
By Lisa, you know.
I know.
So, Clarissa Shields versus Marie-Eve Dicare. Listen, full disclosure here, I didn't watch the fight. Beebe, did you watch it?
Well, I'm a little bit embarrassed. And I apologize to Clarissa Shields and every single female on that card because I had every intention of buying that pay-per-view.
Would you have to clean out your sock drawer and you couldn't buy it? I mean, what happened?
Come on. The futon's ready for you tonight if you keep it up. You're going on the futon.
I didn't say anything, man.
Like Sonny from Bronx Steel, you may even go in the closet. like Frankie Coffee Cake did. But getting back to this. You know, I ended up going out, and I normally when the honey dips call when boxing on, I put them on the back burner.
Well, there was no boxing on though, right?
Please, Eric. Please stay civil with this. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't motivate myself to buy this pay-per-view. And judging by from what everyone that did see this fight talked about it, it was very uneventful. And I'm going to say something right now that may not be pleasant. But Clarissa Shields talks a great game. Talks a great game. Has a sense of, dare I say, entitlement, right? Obviously, very decorated amateur career.
Kind of does. I got to be honest. Kind of does, yeah.
Two-time gold medalist, but I have to say this. I have never watched a Clarissa Shields fight and said to myself, wow, what a fight this was. Wow, this was awesome. Like, my eyes were, like, never glued to the TV anytime she's fought.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you a quick question, and that's a good point you brought up. You said that there's no real time. Have you ever watched a Clarissa Shields fight that you would show your friends?
No. Now,
as evidence of what a great fight this was.
Yeah. Now, in stark contrast, when I watch a Katie Taylor fight, I actually watch it sometimes. It's like when she fought Persoon, I watched that fight like twice. That's how much I enjoyed
it. Yeah.
I really enjoy Katie. Because Katie Taylor, to me, she's what a boxer should be. I mean, she's very well rounded. Clarissa Shields, I don't know. Obviously she's very skilled, but there just seems to be something missing with her.
Yeah.
And you know, I when every time I see her fight, it's almost as if she's trying so hard to get a result. She's trying too hard to be exciting. And make a statement, and it's just not happening. So it's almost like she's in there trying to be something she's not.
Right.
Everything she does looks like it's forced. And she's so athletically gifted enough that she can force a lot of her movements and try to be something she's not in there. And it's just not working for her, you know? You could see how she gets over anxious. She going back to the whole thing with Vito. I've seen her fight, and then I've seen her get like a little bit over anxious, get reckless. I think Hannah Gabriels knocked her down because she was getting a little over anxious and a little overzealous in that. She's really not a big puncher. She's just not entertaining, man. And
you know, her talk is entertaining. I mean, you know, but even that is still kind of like.
It's off-putting because she's not – her fighting style does not support her personality.
Correct.
And that's what turns me off about her.
I expect her – the way she talks, I expect her to be like Mike Tyson.
100%.
To go out there and smash people in one round. And if she was doing that, she'd be 100 times more popular. She's not.
Yeah.
She's just not,
man. So that's the thing. And then every time – She says at the end of the fight, well, you know, I wanted to get her out of there, but she was in survival mode.
It's always everybody else's fault. Yeah, that you
how many people were in survival mode when they fought Mike Tyson? How many people were fighting for their lives? But again, if you're a fighter that knows how to cut off the ring, if you're a fighter that knows how to set up your punches, if you're a fighter that can punch,
yeah,
right. There's just no excuse. Like when any time a fighter uses the term, well, the person was in survival mode, all they did is run. You know what that tells me? That you didn't know how to cut off the ring. That you couldn't track that person down. That you didn't have the ability to open that person up. You didn't have the ability to trap that person to make them not be able to run. So the onus is on you to stop them from running. The onus is on you to cut that ring off. The onus is on you to hurt them so they can't run. Right? A deer runs from a lion, right? Once the lion gets the teeth on that deer, or that antelope, I should say, what happens? Doesn't go anywhere. She's actually getting the teeth on the antelope, but the antelope's still able to survive, still able to get away. That's on you.
You know, whenever you step up or whenever you spar, whenever you do anything, typically you're sparring against somebody that's like you, you know, that has the same amount of skill. You've all been taught the same things. You've all been taught how to throw a jab, hook, cross, everything like that, and dodge and weave and duck and slip punches and all that other good stuff. So the person facing you, across from you, knows the same things basically you do. What separates you from them? That's what you have to do. You know what I mean? So you, if you can call knockout all you want, all right? But the point is, like, you're going to have to do something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're going to have to do something to separate yourself. And she just doesn't have that. There's nothing that makes me want to watch her. You know, and she claims, you know, she says that, well, she's now a two-time, what is it, a two-division champ, two-division undisputed champ. And people,
oh,
you know.
Three division.
I thought it was
one,
two. I thought it was
one,
two.
154, 160, and 168.
But undisputed champ, though.
Two undisputed. Correct.
Yeah.
I apologize. I thought you meant just champions in general.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, that's great. But, I mean, who are you fighting? I mean, we don't, you know what I mean? I'll give you, by contrast, Amanda Nunes fought last night, who you heard me call the best fighter on the planet, period, man or woman. She's the best fighter. I'll put her resume up against anybody's. Pound for pound, she's the best, period.
I co-sign that.
You know, I mean, she is. You know, Jermaine Durandamy, world champion Muay Thai, world champion kickboxer, beat her. Holly Holm, beat her, knocked her out. Chris Cyborg, beat her. Ronda Rousey, beat her. These are all high-level girls. These are all high-level fighters. You know, I mean, and Amanda Nunes just runs right through them. I want to see her. You know what I mean? She makes you want to see her. There's nothing here that Georgie says outrageous claims. Georgie, we'll get to you in a second. Georgie dropped off. So, Georgie, if you're there, call back.
And another off-putting thing about her is she's always showing a lot of resentment towards other athletes, other female fighters, other female athletes, and always trying to put them down. And you get the sense that it's stemmed from envy.
Yeah.
It's an old saying, you can't subtract from others to add to yourself. So if you want what they have, you're not going to get it by trying to take it away from them, by trying to put them down so you can raise above them by putting them down. Because, again, people are able to make their own decision on who they want to watch. People are going to have their own opinions. And you got to back up what you say. You know, you want to be this tough woman, this you know, show all this bravado, but it's not translating into the ring. It's just not.
Nobody cares. And listen,
nobody does care.
Listen, the formula for getting popular is real easy. Just keep people to care. Whether they love you or hate you, get people to care. Yeah. And so far, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. What you should do, and I saw, I was on Twitter and, you know, on Friday, and incidentally, you know, there were some people tweeting about the fight. Not a lot of people were watching the fight, I gathered. You know, not a lot of people paid for the fight, put it that way. And I think it was, who's the girl we had on here who's a promoter? She promotes fights and we brought her on or whatever to promote
Philadelphia, or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So she was on here. She was on, I guess, Twitter and says, well, how come there's not more knockouts in women's boxing? Well, they're 2 minute rounds. They're 2 minute rounds. I mean, like, they're 10 round championship fights.
I'll be honest with you.
It's a completely different sport. Stop being ignorant about it. I mean, it's a completely different sport, man.
I got to be honest with you. If the rounds are 3 minutes, I still don't think Clarissa Shields would be getting a lot of knockouts. She's not a big puncher.
No, but somebody would. Maybe somebody would. You know what I mean?
Argument. I'm not discrediting your argument at all. But I don't think the argument really is applicable to Clarissa Shields because she's hitting women flush. Like, she's so much better than these women, and she's hitting these – she can't miss.
Yeah.
But again, she's trying so hard. She gets so anxious. A lot of times, she flails. She flails when she gets – like, she's not sitting down and putting her body into these punches because she gets so over-anxious and excited that she flails.
Yeah, and she's a big girl. She should be able to – she's muscular, man. I mean, she's really muscular. She looks like one of the Williams sisters out there.
She's an arm puncher.
Yeah.
Katie Taylor is not an arm puncher. She's not.
Well, let's bring on Robert. Robert's on the line here. Let me bring in ringside Robbie here. Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah. Good evening, guys, and wonderful interview.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts on the Clarissa Shields fight?
Well, I didn't watch it. I wasn't going to watch that thing.
Oh,
and,
how dare you?
Joe is absolutely animal.
Right.
There's nothing about her that you want to see. I mean, her fighting style is boring. She talks like she's Mike Tyson, but when she goes in the ring, she's nothing but. You're right. Now, could you imagine, guys, if Katie Taylor was the headliner of that pay-per-view, it probably would have done a lot better.
Would have been promoted a lot differently. Who would promote this? And that was the other thing. Fight TV had to go promote this because I don't know if she has a promoter.
Yeah.
Katie Taylor puts butts in the seats.
Yes.
Yeah.
And here's another thing, Robert. Clarissa Shields is basically a middleweight, and she's calling out Katie Taylor, Cecilia Brakus. Calling out lightweights and welterweights. If that's not a move of desperation, then I don't know what is.
Well, it's interesting. Here, let me jump in here for a minute.
Okay.
Hang on, Robert. So after the fight, by the way, this was a complete blowout. It was 190 on all the cards. Everybody was surprised she didn't knock this lady out. Dakar landed 31 punches in the fight. How about that for a stat? 31 punches.
Oh, my God.
After the fight, Shields called out Katie Taylor, but claims she must be paid paid at least $1 million to drop to 147. Called out Savannah Marshall for $500,000 or $700,000. I mean, listen, the bottom line is that she's not going to get any of this money.
No.
Because this just doesn't – it's not going to exist because nobody's going to watch that.
How much did she get for the Christina Hammer fight?
Not that. I don't know.
Probably about three.
She was lucky if she got $300,000, yeah.
You know what? To me, if she wants to do something, why not? I mean, who do we have? Sula Merbina came on here and says, well, if I'm getting paid for two rounds, and, I'm getting paid the same for two rounds as I would for three. Why would I push for three? And
I heard that interview, Eric. She said she's getting paid the same for 2 minutes and not 3 minutes. I totally disagree with that.
But Robbie. Not to cut you off, I apologize for interrupting, but let me ask you this, and I'm going to ask Eric this as well.
Okay.
I think we've all seen Urbina fight. I want to see her again. That Esparza fight was an awesome fight. Her and Marlon Esparza. I thought the fight was a razor close fight. You can make an argument that the fight could have been a draw.
Son,
you know?
That was not a razor close fight.
It was. Go
that
back
was
and
a
go back.
Close fight.
Go on.
What were the scores on that fight? What were the scores on that fight?
They were close. One of the scorecards was 150. It was 6-4 in rounds.
Well,
yeah, it was close.
Here's the problem I have, Joe. It might have been a razor close fight, but if they were fighting under the same rules as all the other boxers, you might have had a more definitive winner. I mean, you hear about women's equality, and women want this, and women want that. Well, why should they have special rules when it comes to combat sports? Do you see Amanda Nunes fighting special rules because she's a female in UFC? No, you don't. I mean, if you're going to be a professional boxer, you have to fight under professional boxing rules, which means 3-minute rounds, your championship fights need to be at least 12 rounds, and be like all the other boxers. Start out at 4, go to 6, go to 8, go to 10, and do a professional boxing career. I don't know why females have to get specialized treatment and only fight 20-minute fights.
Well, I don't know that it's specialized. By the way, that Sula Merbina fight, two judges had it 80-72 for Esparza. The other judge had it 78-74 or something like that.
I had it 77-75, and a lot of people on Twitter had it the same, or they had it. Some people had even had it a draw.
Yeah, two judges had it a shutout though, so she ain't getting that.
Yeah, but I don't go by what the judges say sometimes. But again, that is the official thing. But she won't. She may get a rematch though, because that was a very entertaining fight.
Right.
Like she came on, in the second half, like she had some good moments in that fight.
Why none of them? I don't understand why none of the women recognize, or maybe they recognize it and they're just not going to step up. Why is, I mean, Is it a fact of not stepping up or not recognizing that if I fight 3 minutes and if you make our 12 rounds, 3 minute rounds, that we're going to be, how could you possibly think you're going to be held in the same standard when the rules are completely that much different?
Well, if it's me, right, this is my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to be where someone else is at, what do? I look at what they did to get there and I try to follow the same blueprint. Like if I give you the path to get to a certain place, then why not follow that path? If you know that I followed that same path and I got there and I'm at a place where you want to be, follow me down the yellow brick road. Just follow me. But they don't. If they want what the men have, then do what the men do. In the UFC, they're fighting three. It's a champion. They're fighting 5 minute rounds in the UFC. The females. They're not doing abbreviated rounds there. Their title fights are five rounds. Just like the men, they do everything the men do, and they get some of them get treated. Some female fighter, I think Ronda Rousey was making more than a lot of the guys.
She absolutely was, and she was headlining cars. She headlined just about every card she was on.
Yeah, So again, the blueprint is out there. If you don't want to follow the blueprint, then you're not going to get the same result. You're not going to get paid more money for fighting 3 minute rounds. You're just not. It's not going to happen. You're going to get paid more money if people are going to pay tickets to see you fight. Go ahead, Robbie. I'm going to hijack your call here. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's perfectly fine. But I also wanted to talk about a few other things. Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary, guys, of Ali Frazier 1. How about that?
Beautiful. I heard you were wrong back then.
No, that was the very first fight I ever watched, man. So,
right.
You must remember that clear as day.
And congratulations to Brandon Adams. That was a hell of a fight. They had a lot of technical problems. They had a lot of technical problems in the beginning of the card, but I'm glad they cleared everything up before the main event because that was well worth watching. And I guess NBC is going to be doing two more cards this month from Puerto Rico, so it'll be interesting to see what they put together. So,
all right.
Yeah, but I couldn't agree with you guys more. Look, the UFC does a wonderful job in promoting their women. Boxing doesn't know how to do that. And in order to put them on equal footing, you need to change the rules and make them equal. I've called for that for years. Every time I've had to speak on this, I've always called that they have the same rules. I mean, no specialized treatment here, guys.
Robert, you'll know this. What is the amateur rules? Is it three rounds or what is it, five rounds, two-minute rounds?
Well, I think it's three rounds for the guys. I don't know what it is for the females. I know for the guys.
Three-minute rounds?
It's three-minute rounds.
It's got to be two-minute rounds. It's got to be two-minute rounds for the women, right?
Right.
I think the amateurs it's 3 minutes.
Is it?
I think so in the amateurs. It's 3 minutes.
Listen, but I disagree with you, B, because name an amateur you want to see fight. You know what I mean? You're not gonna wait and see an amateur. And that's what this is like. Because you play by a different set of rules, nobody's going to take it seriously. Why would 12 rounds is a championship fight, son? Your championship rounds are what, 9 and 10?
Hell, I
you
remember
I mean?
When they were 15, guys.
That's a 12-round fight.
Their championship fights are 10-round fights.
Right. That doesn't make any sense.
They don't fight 12.
Amanda Nunez, you know what her championship rounds are?
Five
rounds. They're not three rounds. They're five rounds.
She doesn't fight three minutes a round. She fights five minutes a round.
That's because every person in the UFC fights under the same rules. There's no special treatment there. I mean, boxing needs to wake up
and
do the right thing.
Well, does boxing need to wake up or do these girls need to wake up?
The women got to wake up and demand this. They need to step up and say, this is what we want. This is what we want.
You want to start making money? You want to be considered equal? That's what you got to do.
Sunisa Estrada and Marlon Esparza, they fought a 3 minute rounds.
Then they should
fight the three rounds. Yep.
And they should all fight the 12 rounds. If it's a championship fight, then you go 12 rounds.
It's not like they can't fight 3 minutes.
They absolutely could.
It's not like the commission's not going to sanction a 3 minute a fight with 3 minute rounds in it for the females. That's not the case.
Anything the guys do, they can do.
That's right.
It's absolutely true. Anything that the guys have to adhere to rule wise, they can adhere to rule wise. And my guess is that they would be happy to do it.
They should be happy to do it.
And if you're not happy to do it, find another thing to do.
Exactly.
That's Robbie's magnificent
quote. That's right. Good line.
Yep.
Good line.
Yep.
All right, Robin, we're going to get running here, man. Thank you so much.
Okay, see you later, guys.
All right,
every time I use that line, I always preface it with, as Robbie would say.
As Robbie would say, yeah, that's right.
You need to find something else to do.
That's it.
That's his line. I'll never take that away from him.
Yeah, I mean, but again, man, you're not going to be, you know, you want to be popular, you want to be this and that. Listen, man, it ain't going to happen with you. You're doing the same things over and over and not getting the result. You know what I mean? Start doing something different. Tomorrow's International Women's Day. I just got told by my wife tomorrow's International Women's Day. Yeah. For half the day, because they only do half of the work.
Good one, Eric. Good one. Touché, Mr. Lorda. Good one. I ain't wearing the pants in that family. There you go.
That's right. I'm probably wearing them on the couch, but I mean, that's all right, you know.
Now you're showing your alpha status.
That's right. Alpha male, baby. UFC 259, if anybody's interested, Jan Blachowicz beats Israel Adesanya by unanimous decision. It was a close fight. I think the right guy won it, though. Also, too, Amanda Nunes was on that card. The best fighter on the planet, in my opinion, won by first-round TKO. So there you go. Good stuff. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Not a whole lot, but some good fights here. So March 10th, which I believe is Wednesday, on Showtime, weird time to have a fight is on Wednesday, man.
Weird time.
Brandon Lee versus Samuel Tia, 10 rounds welterweights. It's from Connecticut. It's like one of their showbox cards, you know. So Brandon Lee's an up-and-comer. He's one to watch. So
I like Brandon Lee.
Yeah, I like him too. So definitely check that one out. March 12th, I believe that's a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Friday from Dubai, UAE on ESPN+. Lewis Crocker versus Denise Ilbe, 10 rounds welterweights. This has got to be one of those MTK cards or whatever. Trust
MTK
me.
MTK Global.
Yeah, you're not interested. Nobody's interested in that, son. Also on Friday, the big one, on DAZN from Thailand, Swissaket Sorungvisai versus Kwanthai Sithmorensang, 12 rounds junior bantamweights. This is going to be a good one, man. I like Swissaket. I'm anxious to see what he's got left, and see how it goes, man. See how it goes. JC in the chat just asked if Adesanya was a hype job. No, he's not. The guy was just bigger. I mean, if you looked at Blachowicz, I mean, he's a lot bigger. Adesanya was taller, but I mean, you could tell. I mean, that Blachowicz was definitely the bigger, stronger guy in there. And not to mention that he can get you out of there with just one punch. So, you know, there's always that. Saturday in Dallas, Texas, on DAZN, this is the big one of the weekend. Juan Francisco Estrada versus Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez for Estrada's WBC title and Gonzalez's WBA title. I can't wait, man. This is going to be a good one. This is a really good one. This is actually a rematch. Chocolatito beat Estrada earlier on. So it's going to be good. On the undercard here, Hiroto Kayaguchi versus Axel Vega, 12 rounds for Kayaguchi's WBA junior flyweight title. Title fight, Jessica McCaskill versus Cecilia Breakhouse, 10 rounds for the undisputed WBC, WBO, WBA, IBF welterweight championship. Again, it's 10 rounds, not 12. And listen, it is what it is. McCaskill was the first girl to beat Breakhouse, so that'll be that'll be interesting. So, I guess, you know. I mean, I'll watch it, but. Yeah.
This is one of the rare times that you're actually looking forward to a rematch because you're not a big rematch guy, but you're.
I'm not. You know why? Because they fought way early. You know what I mean? They fought early on. Like when Chocolatito made that run or whatever, he fought. They even fought before that, before he was like a big deal on HBO and everything like that. I tell you what, I've got Estrada in this. I think Estrada beats him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you can't really count Chocolatito out. I get it, man. But, you know, because he's put it together as of lately, you know. But I got to think that Estrada's going to beat him. Now, incidentally, the guy who's been on a run here is Chacal. Chacal's been on a run. He's been calling them left and right, upsets, this and that. He's been calling everything left and right. He thinks that Chocolatito's going to win this fight. So
he's a fluke.
He's a fluke. We have to get him an office here at the Beef Industries here.
No.
No way, huh? And then
– it's coming to an end soon.
History is coming to an end. Also, too, on Showtime on Saturday, David Benavidez versus Ronald Ellis, 12-round super middleweights. So, you know, we'll see what David Benavidez has. He's been hyping up the Canelo fight that's not even on the table for him. He's got to get past Ronald Ellis, which we suspect he will. But, you know, listen, man, he's one of those guys that's got a lot of demons, man. So you don't know who's coming up. Who's, you just don't know. So whenever he shows up to fight, again, he's like a Keith Thurman. If he shows up this way and that way, he shows up focused, he's going to win. If he doesn't, maybe something was wrong with his game. You don't know. That's what makes the fight interesting. That's what makes it real interesting. So there you go. So, yeah, some good fights coming up this weekend. That much I will say. A lot of good fights coming up this weekend. All right. All right, let's go to the news and rumors here. ESPN does not seem happy that Top Rank did not deliver that fight. Beebe, you sent me a video early this weekend. It was a clip of Max Kellerman, and he was on one of his shows there and stated that ESPN was, quote-unquote, disappointed that Top Rank could basically that Top Rank could not deliver the fight between Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos. Listen, man, my guess, my best wild guess is that Top Rank's days are numbered over at ESPN. And you could say, that, well, they paid $6 million on him. How could they? It's not worth that. Blah blah blah. I get that, but it didn't have to go to first bid either. You know, B, do you think their days are numbered over there?
I'm hearing that ESPN's pulling the plug after this year. That I heard. That's the rumor. I'm also hearing that Fox is not renewing their deal with PBC after this year as well. So it's going to be interesting to see where all these fighters go.
Listen, you got to start putting on better stuff. Put on better stuff. I mean, typically with Fox, you know, as many fighters as they've gotten that PBC stable. And some of the stuff that they put on is like, you know,
here's the thing. Fox, both Fox and ESPN show the UFC.
Yeah.
And they're looking at that product and seeing how well that's being done and how great a reception all those cards get.
Right. Well, Fox doesn't show it anymore. Just ESPN. They're exclusive to ESPN.
Fox doesn't show any – they don't show that the the non-pay-per-view
like
fights?
No, that's all on ESPN and ESPN Plus now. Okay. They've got an exclusive.
Okay, I stand corrected then. I thought they still showed the other ones. But regardless, I think Fox and ESPN are taking a look at what the UFC is doing, and they're saying to themselves, why can't boxing do this? You know, and maybe Fox may make a play to do some MMA next year. Who knows? We'll
yeah,
see.
I mean, who knows?
We all know ESPN is totally 100% fully vested in the UFC.
Yeah, that's their cash cow as far as combat sports are. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing.
You know, Woody, I mean, if you're, you know, PBC, what was that, Darrell, and who was the Darrell, and who was the other guy that was on Fox?
I'm trying to remember. I can't remember.
It doesn't even matter, you know, because, you know, but that's the fight that they put on Fox National.
Well, let me ask you this.
That was the main event, you know.
Well, all these excuses that boxing promoters come up with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it any different with the UFC? Why is the UFC still able to do what they do? Oh, everyone's going to say, oh, because Dana White runs everything. They have to fight or, you know, this and that. But once again, you know, the networks and the promoters can refuse fights.
Sure.
They could, you know, if a fighter wants to fight a specific fight, the promoter can say, you know what, go ahead and fight that guy. I'm not going to promote it. You know, So when you got the PBC allowing these guys to fight who they're fighting and paying them handsomely to do so, not holding their feet to the fire to make sure that they fight better fighters, then it's their fault, not the fighter's fault. More so, I mean, it's both of their faults, but you know, the networks are getting sick of it, and the people in charge, like Al Haymon, Bob Arum, or whatever. Bob Arum is stepping up, and he's kind of saying, "Well, you know, I want better fights, and if you don't try to fight a better opponent, I'm not going to pay you premium money to fight lower level opponents." And you know, the direct opposite of that is the PBC. They are paying premium money for these guys to fight less than stellar opponents, right? So they're doing it to themselves. They can't sit there and say, why is boxing where it is right now? Why can't we get ahead? Why can't we go mainstream? Why are we still a niche sport? I just take a look at the PBC's blueprint, and it's pretty self-explanatory why boxing is where it is.
The fact that they put that as a main event on Fox, on the national TV, not even on Fox Sports, national TV. You put that fight on Fox, it was awful. It was awful because nobody knows. I mean, you know what I mean? There wasn't anything that would appeal to anybody about that fight. Nothing.
No.
You know? And, I mean, it is what it is, you know? And, you know, so if they get canceled from Fox, you know, you'll know why. You know, for as much talent and everything that is, they have so much talent everywhere. And that's what, you know, that's what you're coming up with. ESPN has come up with better fights, you know. In fact, Josh Ramirez and Josh Taylor is set for May 22nd. That fight will be on ESPN, not ESPN pay-per-view, but ESPN. So that's a good fight, Beeb.
Yeah.
Great fight. Really good fight.
And again, this is what Top Rank's doing. They're putting on these great cards now, you know.
They're doing better. It's not great, but it's better. So this blockbuster pay-per-view, and none of this has been confirmed yet, but this is the rumor floating out there, and I got to believe it's probably going to happen. I mean, I would be shocked. Chris Areola versus Andy Ruiz apparently will land on a pay-per-view. Really? I mean, that's like in Clarissa Shields territory, man.
Inexplicable.
I'm not watching that fight. Because I know it's not going to have – I know the undercard can't be that good. You know why I know that? Because that's the headliner, son.
Yeah.
Areola Ruiz are the headline in that thing. Why in the world would you put that fight on pay-per-view? What sense does that make? I mean, for real, like why – and what on earth – about that fight screams pay-per-view. Really?
Nothing.
Nothing about that fight screams pay-per-view. You got to be kidding me. Nothing about that fight. That is an awful fight. Listen, that's a great fight. That's a good fight for Andy Ruiz. It's a good comeback fight. I get it. And it's a good fight for, you know, if you wanted to put that fight on Fox Sports or Channel 9, you know, Fox, Nationwide Fox, I don't have any problems with that. You want to put that fight on Fox pay-per-view, though? Are you crazy?
I mean, no disrespect, but I'm not really enthused about seeing Areola again. I mean, he's beyond, like, he's beyond done at this point, right?
Well, sure. You know, I mean, he's not, you know, I mean, he fought Klitschko. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a spring chicken, man.
Yeah. How old is he? He's got to be close to 40.
Got to be close to it.
Gotta check out how old he is because he's not a young guy at all.
I remember HBO was really promoting him and everything. They got him and they started promoting him. And I remember when he fought Klitschko, they got on him about his weight. And he was like, you know, I train. I should be able to eat whatever I want to eat, you know, and just completely ate his way out of the title picture.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is unreal. This is so Devin Haney and Vasyl Lomachenko are going at it on Twitter. Devin Haney was tweeting. He says, "Where's Loma at?" Loma says, "You know, hey, I'm right here. I'm waiting for you guys to decide on a real fight, not a Twitter fight." And, you know, so they're going back and forth on Twitter. And they basically said, "Hey, I'm ready to go. You want to fight? We're ready. We can make this fight." Both of them are saying this, you know, we can fight. So it turns out Devin Haney and Jorge Linares have agreed to terms for a May fight. A fight in May. This is so tired. This whole line about trying to make fights on Twitter and everything like that, they never come about. Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis completely go in two separate ways. These two guys completely go in separate ways. This fight makes sense. It was a good fight. I mean, it makes sense. They interviewed Bob Arum for it. I think it was IFL interviewed him. And Bob Arum said, "Yeah, we can make the fight happen." He said he's got one more contract. He's got one more fight left that he's got to fight, I guess, for DAZN or whatever. And it sounded like that he was going to fight. Like he was, I mean, the way Bob Arum was talking, it was like they knew he already had a fight lined up. You know, and then afterwards we can make that happen or whatever. You know, it's just like, this is crazy, man. It's just, Reese Mack just said it best, all tweet, no action. Great. You guys are Twitter legends now. Wonderful. You know, you got no belts, no money to show for it, nothing. But, hey, you're a bad boy on Twitter. You know, what are you going to do? Regis Prograis and Ivan Redcatch, will be on the undercard of Triller. They're going to be on an undercard of one of the Triller things. I want to say it's the Ben Askren and Logan Paul fight, or I think it's Logan Paul or Jake Paul.
It's Jake Paul versus Ben Askren.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be on that undercard, if I'm not mistaken.
They are.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is it worth watching, Beeb? I don't know. You got to put a little bit more on there for me.
I'll buy it, too.
I'm a degenerate. You wouldn't buy that Shields pay-per-view, though, huh? That's cold-blooded.
Extenuating circumstances.
What were the extenuating circumstances there, Beeb?
Something really, really pressing came about, and I had to take care of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Pressing, huh?
Yeah. Oh, honey, the back in your house.
What was his name?
Oh, stop it.
Oh, that was cold. Please. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You're fine, Beeb. Don't worry about it.
Please.
All right, guys. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib
from Boston
on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.